You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Elbow discomfort. That's the nothing personal word of the day. Bad word if you are the GM of any team or the team president and you're listening to nothing personal. Oh, it better not be about my guy. Elbow discomfort here on Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. Yankees fans are despondent beyond repair as they woke up to the news that Aaron Boone just put into a quick convo. We're going to take Gerrit Cole and give him an MRI, just a little elbow discomfort. All right, let me get to the facts of the case. You remember how the team doctor calls the team trainer and the team trainer calls the GM and then the GM calls the president calls the owner, and then you all do a conference call back with the team doctor just in case there was a little bit of telephone going on? You want to hear it firsthand from the source. A couple words I don't love to hear ever. Discomfort, normally, I'm okay with. Hey, he's got some lower back discomfort. Hey, he's got some discomfort in his hip. He's got a little bit of discomfort in his toe. His groin is a little uncomfortable. No problem. When you are a pitcher, and they use discomfort associated with your shoulder or your elbow, that's code word for, uh-oh, we've got trouble. So you get the call. You know something's going on. Gerrit Cole's pitched one time in spring training. Today is March 12th. These pitchers, forget Dodgers and Padres, where the Dodgers announced that Glasnow will open game one in South Korea. Yamamoto's taking game two. Those guys are locked in. They are pitching on their 5 days. They will pitch, and then in 8 days, they will start, or 9 days for Yamamoto. The rest of the teams open on the 28th. News alert, those rotations are locked in as well. Do a little math, and you'll be able to figure out the opening day starter for every single team. When your pitcher has not pitched since March 1st, I don't care if he's throwing bullpen sessions to Aaron Judge every other Tuesday. I don't care if he's throwing bullpens to Verdugo live, simulated, 9-inning games with umpires. If your starting pitcher is not pitching in spring training games with umpires from the umpires union, with players from another team not on the back fields, anyone from Asian Breeze, you got to be against other teams' big leaguers. When you have not been doing that since March 1st, and your total spring innings are, wait for it, dose, you got a problem. You're not ready for the regular season. The New York Yankees had to explain to themselves, maybe publicly, but let me get to that, had to explain why Gerrit Cole has not been pitching since March 1st. So the explanation is he just hasn't felt as good between starts. His recovery isn't going as well. He feels as though he's got arm fatigue that would be a mid-season type of fatigue or a post-100 pitch outing type of fatigue during the recovery process. That's all code word. For we don't really want to tell you what's happening because we really hope it's not happening. And we're waiting as long as we can to find out if something really bad's happening. But now that we're in the middle of the March, we have no choice but to really find out and then figure what we have to do because we have to have pitchers ready in a rotation and this may involve signing an unsigned player. If you have no budget to sign a free agent and you are not going to replace the pitcher who is having quote unquote wink, wink discomfort or one of your penciled in starters, let me go back. When spring training starts, we have a list, and it is a list that we keep on a board. Then we type it up. We keep it in our pockets, folded in squares, sometimes in our breast pocket. It's a list of SPDs, not STDs, SPDs, starting pitcher depth. We start with one who we want to start opening day. We go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This would be our ideal five-man rotation. If that list does not go to 14, you're going to have a problem during the course of the season. It is normal that teams use around 14 people to start games. Now, this was even before openers came into play. This is when you actually had starting pitchers start every game of a regular season. So a guy gets hurt, no problem. Number six moves up. You've got your five-man rotation. Another guy goes on the IL, bring up number seven. There is a list. During the course of a season, there is movement at the bottom of the list. There are some pitchers who, during the course of the season, will outperform the expectations. They will improve in a way that you were hoping for but not expecting, and then they move up your SPD. So when one of the top five is hurt or you have a doubleheader and you look to who you're going to have fill that slot. In addition to using their talent to rank them, we also use their service time. Are they on the roster? A non-roster pitcher in your top 14 requires a concomitant move. You've got to take someone off your roster in order to get them into a major league game because they have to be added to your 40-man roster. Remember, you protect 40 players at once, and then every day you choose 26 to be active. If you want someone to pitch who's on your 40-man roster but not your 26, you call up that player from 40 to 26, and you send down a player who has options from 26 down to 40. When you're forced to send a player down who doesn't have options, this happens during the season, that's when you designate a player for assignment. You have to get them off your roster. So you'd much rather have SPD who are roster players. So the Yankees are looking at their rotation, and if they know they have to go to number six right off the bat, and you do the calculation, you've got off days in April, we can go with four starters until April 9th, and then we need our fifth starter to start April 10th. And I'm making up the numbers, but that, let's say that's the case. Then you know you've got some time. If you're going to go with five starters from the very beginning, then you know you do not have that amount of time, even though there's generally an off day in the first week because teams get off days in case of rainouts in non-roofed stadiums, possible opening day rainouts. So the call comes in, and it's not from the team doctor. Instead, the call goes from Brian Cashman to the team doctor. Hey, we sort of need to figure out what's going on with Garrett here. He's not giving us innings. His arm feels wonky. What are your thoughts? The team doctor likely said, let's put him in the tube. When you put a pitcher in the tube, you're going to find out exactly what's happening. You will find out what's going on with his elbow ligament. You'll find out what's going on with his shoulder. If you MRI his shoulder, you can MRI any part of your body and find out what's going on. For those of you who have been asking, Major League ballparks do not have MRI machines. We have X-ray machines. Hey, he broke his finger. No, he didn't. Hey, he broke his leg. Oh, it's a compound fracture. Don't need the machine. Get to the hospital. MRI tubes? No. Those are in hospitals associated with the team doctor. However, unlike you, there is no appointment required. There is no wait. When a player needs to get an MRI, it is 24 hours a day we have access to an MRI tube, and it's zero wait. And I don't mean zero wait to get the appointment. I mean, it's as long as it takes to drive to the hospital, that's when the MRI appointment is. Now, So if you've ever been bumped from an MRI appointment or your doctor's running a little late, go ahead and look in the tube and there could be a professional athlete in there. What's interesting about it is that sometimes we do wait overnight to do an MRI, and it's only because the player, hey, I got something with my kids. Hey, I don't want to wake up at 7 a.m. and drive down to the hospital. Hey, I got this to do. I got that to do. All right, what's the earliest you can go? I can be there by 9:30. All right, be there at 9:30. Your MRI's at 9:30. You're in the tube. Let's call it a half hour. 10 o'clock, reading comes out. You go home. You report back to the field if you want. And you wait on pins and needles. No, that's what you and I do. That was one of the biggest adjustments, Coca, actually, when I was out of baseball, is that I was no longer able to just get MRIs whenever I wanted, and I was not able to get results immediately. The MRI results come to the Yankees immediately. So just to be clear, when Gerrit Cole gets the MRI, the Yankees will have the results, and then they can decide what they're going to do, how they're going to announce it. If it's true that it's just a little fatigue, then all you do is announce there is no structural damage. We are going to build Gerrit Cole back up. We expect him to be ready by the middle of April, but he will start the season on the injured list. That's one option. Two, it could be serious, in which case you announce we're inconclusive. We're going to let him rest, but there is no timetable. That's another favorite one. Unfortunately, the Yankees have two problems. One is Nestor Cortez. Nasty Nestor actually went public, which we tell our players never to do. Do not talk about your teammates' injuries. That's second only to don't take anyone to your room who you meet in the hotel lobby. Two rules. I mean, third, of course, is take Uber. Don't talk about your teammates' health. Cortez said he's a big part of this rotation. I feel like this is something he's trying to get ahead of. Obviously, it's alarming. I didn't know how serious it was until now. Nestor, we're trying to make it not serious because we don't want Gerrit Cole to go to his agent, Scott Boras, and say, oh, Scott, I've got a serious injury. You do? Bummer, but you're in the middle of a 9-year, $300 million deal. I'm not worried about you there, Gerrit. Good luck. Get better. Hold on. Brian, it's Scotty. Hello, Boras. What do you want? Hey, I'm hearing that there could be an issue with Gerrit. He's your client. Do you know something? No, I just know what I read. You know, he feels a little tired. He'll be fine. But, you know, I got another client out here ready to go. He's completely stretched out. Forget taking a step back. The Yankees cannot afford to start slowly out of the gate. The pressure is on you, Brian, and on Aaron Boone. What, are you going to fire Boone after 3 weeks? You need my guy. How about the amount of self-dealing that Scott Boras can do right now? He can say to the Yankees, he's like the Dr. Seuss machine I talk about, where sneetches pay to get their stars either put on or taken off. They don't care because they're making the money. They own the machine. And the sneetches don't know what to do. They keep paying the guy money. Dr. Sylvester McMonkey McBean, I believe it. There's no way I have that right, but that's sort of the Disney, the Dr. Seuss character. Scott Boras is that. He's Sylvester McMonkey McBean calling the Yankees and saying, hey, I'm sorry that your pitcher has no star upon his belly. I've got a machine that I'll get you another pitcher. His name is Blake Snell. Scott Boras. You wonder why the Yankees don't want news out there. They don't want Boras to know anything. They don't want to get pressured into giving Blake Snell more money. That's it. Let me give you a wait to see on Gerrit Cole, because the old elbow discomfort thing. I'm looking at 2 innings of spring training, and I'm telling you the following. Wait to see when I tell you something's going to happen. If it does, great. If it doesn't, fine. This one we're going to win. Gerrit Cole will start the season on the IL. That's a give me. Give me. He's not going to pitch again before May 1st. Wait to see. I'll tell you who's not waiting to see. The free agent deadline, who doesn't love it? How many of you are saying right now, God, baseball, you stink? Look at the excitement the NFL has. Look at all these players signing these contracts. I couldn't take a minute off yesterday without some other guy getting $100 million guaranteed. This guy's going to that team. The Packers cut Jones, signed Jacobs. The Giants lost Barkley, but they got traded for Burns. Barkley's with Philadelphia. Panthers make a trade. I didn't get sacks because we sucked. All of this is going on. It's the first day of free agency. Yet everybody's signing. In baseball, we've got two of the top four free agents unsigned on March 12th. We have a league where they're begging for a deadline. They are begging to have the excitement that the NFL is having right now. For not the final time, because it's going to come up again and again. Maybe everyone will get it now. Without a salary cap, you cannot have this excitement. If there is a salary cap, then every team is spending to a floor, and they've got, in theory, a cap. It's a hard cap and a soft cap, and we can go over cap rules later. But it's a game of musical chairs, because once you're at or over the cap, that's it. Players know it. Players also know teams who are not at the cap that eventually players have to get signed, which is how you get crappy contracts in the NBA when teams have to spend to a floor. Baseball doesn't have it. And because baseball doesn't have it, there will never be that need for a player to sign so quickly, unless, of course, he's getting totally overpaid, because baseball teams can have a budget on March 12th. They can have a different budget on November 12th, a different budget on June 12th. They can change their budget every week if the owner wants to. It's totally irresponsible and ridiculous, but it's possible. NFL teams can't do that. The money they spend is the money they have, and that's all they can spend. So I'm fascinated by reading about what is happening with all the player movement, and I'm jealous at the news cycle. But for all the people within baseball who are hoping that this would be yet another way for the players to realize how exciting it is and therefore agree to a deadline, it's not going to happen. The only way the players would agree to a deadline is if there is some sort of salary floor that is way higher than where a whole lot of teams are right now, and a salary cap that is way higher than the Dodgers and Mets are right now. Now, if there's some sort of cap and floor in that way, then you could have this type of excitement for baseball. But until then, we'll have to settle for football, and we'll have to settle for fan bases who are upset, tearing up jerseys. Are Giants fans getting rid of the Saquon Barkley jerseys? Are they so upset that he's an Eagle now? Is it that big a deal? I'd be cheering. I'm a Giants fan. I'm happy. In a salary cap league, there's nothing better than your competitor overpaying a player. There's nothing better. It's a dream. The Eagles giving Barkley what they gave him, $37.75 million. He got $26 million guaranteed. He got more than the franchise tag. Good for him. I'm happy for him. He gets to go home. I think he grew up in Lehigh Valley, about an hour away from the Link, the Bank, the Fink, the Dink, Century Link. I likely cannot. How sad. I don't remember the name of every stadium. Are you of that age where you used to know the name of every stadium and now you can't remember because they keep changing names? That's me. Is it worthy of discussing on Nothing Personal that Barkley got that contract? No, I'm going to move on to Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber's having this fight with Saquon Barkley. I'm going to throw some water on it. There's two ways to go. You can go water or you can go gas when you have a show like ours. Gas is more fun, isn't it? Maybe get aggregated. No, not today. Not today. I'll see you soon. Coca, that's a gladiator. We get to review Gladiator this week. Tiki Barber went on the radio and said, "You're dead to me, Saquon. Good luck, you're dead to me." And Saquon went to social media to respond like there's some sort of big thing between Barber and Barkley, whatever Barber had said prior doesn't matter. Barber did it totally tongue-in-cheek, the way you would do it, like to someone you know or love. Hey, man, you're a fan of this team. You're dead to me now. How many times has Coca said that about the Mets? You're dead to me. And then cheering for the Mets the next day. I don't know that Barber and Saquon go to lunch together. I just know that in the media and for fans on social media and everywhere else, you love seeing gladiators gladiate. That's just not this. I wonder whether Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs will get at it. I wonder if players get upset when one player gets cut because the team says, we don't have the money for you. And then the team turns around and gives that money to another player. If it were 8:45 a.m. Eastern on the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel, I would have Aaron Jones looking at Josh Jacobs and saying, man, you're dead to me. And I have Josh Jacobs looking at Aaron Jones and saying, hey, it's just business. This is nothing personal. There's a lot of that going on during free agency. Teams are changing out. They're deciding who to pay, who not to pay. They're players who think they were going to get paid, then they don't get paid. Then they sign with a team who all of a sudden is paying them, getting a ton of money. I mean, who's not happy for Sam Darnold? $10 million. That's the baseball equivalent of a decent veteran, mediocre, innings-eating number five starter. That's who the Vikings signed. Why? Because the Vikings were nervous. We cannot play without a quarterback, and we lost our quarterback yesterday. We can't go 24 hours. What are we going to do? We got to learn the playbook. We can't wait for the draft. Let's get Darnold right now. Way to go. The Buccaneers said, hey, let's keep Baker. Give him a hundo. The Atlanta Falcons said, we fired Arthur Smith. He stinks. We brought in Morris. We love him. We've heard of him. We had him. We got to give him something to work with. My name's Art Blank. And we had pathetic quarterback play last year. So let's go out and get the greatest businessman in the history of football. But Arthur, don't we want to win some games and try to go back to the glory of the Matt Ryan days? Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins is an outstanding businessman. Kirk Cousins has great numbers, longevity. He can throw the ball. He has absolutely proven that he will never get injured. He plays every game until he tore his Achilles at 35 years old. Maybe he's Kevin Durant. Maybe he's Aaron Rodgers. That would be something. The Atlanta Falcons signed Kirk Cousins to a four-year, $180 million deal, and those silly people guaranteed Kirk Cousins $100 million. Desperation may be the stinkiest cologne of all time on the first day of NFL free agency, when you are so worried, other than the Miami Dolphins, about how you're going to look, about who's going to be on your team, that you go out and just throw money around. Am I criticizing the Falcons for signing Cousins to $100 million guaranteed? You're goddamn right I am. That's ridiculous. A, he's injured. B, he's old. C, wait for it, he doesn't win. I'm all in if you want to be mediocre. I'm all in if you want to tank. Love it. I'm all in if you want to go for it. Quite annoying that Dolphins fans, I have great respect for columnists in Miami now that I'm not the president of the Marlins. I find it to be a little ridiculous that people are now thinking and writing, God, the Dolphins stink. Their bills have come due. Did you not know this years ago when they loaded up the way they did? Did you not know what happened with the Rams when they won the Super Bowl? This is what happens when you pay people and you try to win now. It's great if you win now, but if you don't win now, those players, however good they may have been, might have been, or could be, they have to be jettisoned because there's a salary cap. Are you impugning the ability of Stephen Ross and Chris Greer? Forget Xavier McDaniel, but are you impugning they had no idea when these players were playing for them in Miami that they would have to be gone because you couldn't keep them because of the salary cap? Of course you did. Mike McDaniel. Sorry, Coca. Xavier McDaniel is a former Knick player. Former Sonic. Remember him? He was bald. Was he tough? He was a villain. In 2022, just to give you an idea of how football works, you know how they do free agent rankings? Go back to 2022. Of the top 11 free agents in 2022, there is one player on that list who has not either taken a pay cut, been traded, or cut. One player. Can you guess that player? Hint, it's Coca's favorite team. No, he's not a Met player. It's not Verlander. It's not Scherzer. Safety Marcus Williams. He's the only player on the list of those 11 top free agents of only 2 years ago who hasn't taken a pay cut or been traded or just released. Total number of wins for Kirk Cousins as a playoff starter. Guess. One. One. The guy's going to have over $300 million of career earnings. Bless his soul. Tip your chapeau. He's bet on himself. He was franchise tag, took it. Franchise tag, took it. Signed a little short two-year deal, Worked in a three-year deal, got an extension. Got the Vikings to keep paying him little by little. It adds up. It's sort of like when you save money, you may think you're not saving a lot. But then when you look back after 10 years, you're like, holy shnikes. The power of compounding is a real thing. This message brought to you by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Please save money, but somewhere below our limit. All right, Coca, let's take a break. We haven't gotten to my favorite story of the day yet. We're going to review an Oscar nominee, did not win, but I watched the movie and I want to review it. And then we're going to talk about some stuff that's going on in San Francisco that's going to shock you. And it shocked me in that, man, I never thought of that. What a great way to save money. I'll explain after the break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It's a tired David Sampson coming at you. Every day, 8 a.m. Flew back from Miami. We did live from the stained carpet. Hope you watched that. So many of you did. Thank you. Whether you're an Oscar fan or not, we did a 7-hour watch party. That was a little tiring. Woke up the next morning and did Nothing Personal, as we do yesterday from the Miami studios. Did the Levitard show. Took an evening plane. Was delayed. There's a few reasons I'm okay being delayed. One, are you making sure the wheels are attached, no problem. Making sure the doors are attached, I'm in. Making sure you get catering and the fact that the jet bridge wasn't working, not in. So I got back very late. And then, of course, laundry, unpacking, yada, yada, yada. You look up, it's 3:30 in the morning. No excuse. 8 a.m. live on the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel. Thank you very much. I was just going to fix my cravat, and I'm not wearing one. I was just going to do this. I did this on, I wore a tie for the party, Coca, for the live from the stained carpet. And I was playing with my tie because I don't wear ties even to funerals or weddings. And I just found myself doing what I used to do when I wore a tie every day on Wall Street. And when I first got into baseball. And when I first got to Florida, I'm such a jackass. Everybody buy dress clothes. David, you're out of your mind. It's too hot in Florida. No one wears ties. I want to be professional. 3 weeks later, throw away your ties. This is ridiculous. It's 1,000 degrees in this place. Who knew? We told you. Yeah, but I didn't listen. Young, dumb, and full of ego. The Teacher's Lounge. It's the German submission for Best International Feature. To all the teachers, and I know we haven't done a know your audience profession. I'd like to do some more audience work to learn who our audience is. I would assume that we're somewhere in the 1% range of teachers who listen, which is amazing. Thank you. The Teacher's Lounge is a movie that you don't need to be a teacher to watch. Have you ever been a student? If the answer to that question is yes, then check out this movie. The Teacher's Lounge is literally about the Teacher's Lounge and what goes on in the Teacher's Lounge when a school is having a few issues that need to be addressed. There's some stealing going on. Who's doing the stealing? Is it a student? Is it a teacher? How do we catch the person doing it? Is that ethical? What happens once we do catch the person? Did that person actually do it? Was it done legally? What happens to the relationship between teachers and teachers and teachers and students when things are going so wrong, they go from bad to worse and then worse yet? The movie goes from good to great to greatest. Go find the Teacher's Lounge and watch it. Subtitles, you'll get through it. All right, Coca, this is it. I told you we'd get to this at 8:30. Plenty of time. Never a doubt. Let's talk about J.D. Davis, former player for Coca. He plays for the San Francisco Giants. San Francisco Giants like to sign the best free agents. They just don't. They have the second best open air ballpark in all of baseball, for me, behind Pittsburgh. They had that great sellout streak, huge success with the needles and the cream. Back in the day, got a ring. Nothing, the value of their team's gone up. Success story. They bring in a president of baseball ops, Farhan, very smart, very, very smart man. Believes that he is building a team that could beat the Dodgers, a team that finished ahead of the Dodgers 1 year, a couple years ago, won 104 games with Gabe Kapler. Then they fired Kapler. I totally get why people fire Kapler. Now working for the Marlins in like a front office role. See how long that lasts. This is a horrific onboarding of the story of J.D. Davis. I'm going to try better. Here we go. 4-8-69. Ready, Coca? In very big and confusing news yesterday, J.D. Davis was waived by the San Francisco Giants. The same player who had just gone to arbitration with his team and actually won his arbitration hearing and was a $6.9 million player, having been offered $6.55 million by his team. A panel of independent arbitrators, as chosen by the league and the union, decided that J.D. Davis's submission was correct and he got $6.9 million. About a month later, the Giants called him into the office and said, see you later. We're releasing you. And we're not paying you all $6.9 million. And the fans all over the country said, wait a minute. I thought he was signed at 6.9. I thought baseball contracts were guaranteed. There's the rub. So let's make sure that you're all aware of how this works. When you sign a player to a guaranteed free agent contract, a major league guaranteed free agent contract, and the player has achieved a certain level of service time, that money is guaranteed through hell or high water, through performance, through injury, through lack of performance. You give a guy $100 million, he's getting $100 million. When you've only been in the league between 3 and 6 years, you're in the arbitration process. When you're in the arbitration process and you have a deal, we signed our player to a 1 year, $1.9 million contract. That is called an actual arbitration settlement because those players were tendered contracts because they have more than 3 and fewer than 6 years of experience. When you tender a contract to a player, that literally means you're offering. Here's a contract. Let's agree on a price. When you're in the league fewer than 3 years, here's your contract and here's the amount on it. See you later. Between 3 and 6, here's your contract. Let's talk. The player says, I want 1.9. The team says, I want to give you 1.9. Let's sign a contract. Guess what? That 1.9 million, you got it. Guaranteed. What happens when you say, I'd like to give you 6.5? Well, I'd like 6.9. Well, I'd like to give you 6.5. Well, I'd like 6.9. All right, we'll let arbitrators decide it. Arbitrators come back and say, you know what? Give him 6.9. No problem. Here's your contract. It's 6.9. A little known fact is you are allowed to release that player. And the only amount of money you have to give him is 30 days pay. It's like a severance package. You get 30 days severance, but you're gone. So if you're making $1 million, let's say you're making, it's done by day. So for JD Davis, who would make $6.9 million over the course of 185 days, math on 30 days is about $1.1 million. The Giants are allowed to release JD Davis, write him a check immediately for $1.1 million for severance, and JD Davis becomes a full free agent, as though he has 6 or more years in the big leagues. He can sign with any team he wants for any amount of money. That $1 million is his. Does that seem unfair? JD Davis is very unhappy. He thought he was getting $6.9 million. We say to the player, if you're going to file against us, we are a file-to-go team. If we exchange numbers, there ain't no settlement absent a multi-year deal, and we're not giving you a multi-year deal. So if there's no settlement, we're going to the room, which means we're having a hearing. Once we go to a hearing and there is a winner and a loser, you are subject to 30-day severance. Now, there is a date when that 30-day ability, you can't just do it in July. There is a date in March where you've got to release the player in order to activate that 30-day severance. So that is a big moment in spring training camp when it is decided, are we going to fully guarantee these following 4 players? The majority of players are on guaranteed deals, but for those who are not, there are days when their contracts become guaranteed. All the Giants did was take advantage of the exact rights as given to them in the collective bargaining agreement. And J.D. Davis's agent is furious. Really? Did you not know the rule? What's wrong here? What's bothering you? Are you furious that your player won an arbitration and you told him he was getting the full 6.9 and you forgot to break the news to him that the team could release him and pay him 30 days? Or did you tell him that they were never going to do it because they love him so much and he's such a good player, having hit 18 home runs for them last year? Or did you tell him, you know, they got Soler? I'm not really sure. I don't know where the at-bats are for you, JD. Maybe we should have taken the 6.4 early. That would have been guaranteed. Oh, I'm so sorry. See you later. So what the agent has to say is, hold on. I am not going to have my abilities to be an agent impugned. I'm going to have to give a quote. And so he did. He said, in my 22 years in the business, I've never seen a club in arbitration make their one and only offer less than an hour before the exchange deadline. Let me stop him. 18 years I was doing arbitration negotiations. There are certain players where the agent could easily say we did not make an offer until 10 minutes before the exchange. That doesn't mean we haven't spoken. The way you negotiate a player who's in the arbitration system is you are negotiating not numbers, you're negotiating comparable players. You call up the agent and say, hey, my player is like John, Dick, and Harry. The agent tells you. You say, John, Dick, and Harry, forget it. Your player is closer to Larry, Moe, and Curly. Those are negotiations because Fun, Dick, and Harry are all first-time eligible players with the same number of home runs, or second-time eligible players with the same number of RBIs, or third-time eligible players with the same number of wins and innings pitched. And so the agent thinks those are the comps that we should be looking at to decide what my player should get paid. The owners, the owners, management, they say, your guys aren't comps. The player was out for a year. The player can't be depended on. The player had one good year, two bad years. He's way more like Larry, Moe, and Curly. And the agent says, you're crazy. And management, the GM, says, no, you're crazy. Does that mean there's no negotiation going on? There's constant back and forth trying to prove to each other why your comps are right and therefore why your numbers are right. So it is entirely possible the San Francisco Giants never gave a number to J.D. Davis's agent until an hour before the exchange deadline. It is impossible that they did not have discussions on who the comparable players were and what the ranges would be. That's one. Two, when you say that you are offering a player in a negotiation $6.5 million, you also say to the agent, if you don't take this, I'm filing at a lower number. You're going to lose money by not taking my offer now. Players do the same thing. Players do it the other way, though. They say to you during the negotiation, I will not take anything below 7, period. I will not go below 7. This is what happened to J.D. Davis. I will not go below 7. Are you serious? There is not one player you can point to where J.D. Davis can be compared to that he would get $7 million. Don't care, not going below. Then all of a sudden, numbers get exchanged, and you're going to the room. You're going to a hearing. And wouldn't you know it, that player filed at 6.9. God damn it. Of course you would go below 7. You file below 7. That means even if you win, you're getting below 7. If you had done that earlier, we could have saved time and not gone to a hearing. But it's like page 3 of the agent playbook. We're not doing this. All right, we'll do it. Now, to be fair, they're used to owners doing the same thing. I will not do this. Well, you just did. All right, I can't say that anymore. So now Farhan and J.D. Davis's agent are going back and forth with tons of different quotes, trying to make sure that everyone feels that there's no grievance to be made. There isn't. You are allowed to use the collective bargaining agreement however you want within the confines of the collective bargaining agreement. Releasing a player, whether they beat you in arbitration, whether you beat them in arbitration, whether you don't like the way they dress, whether you don't like the way they're hitting, whether you don't like the way they smell, you can, for no reason at all, give them their termination pay, 30 days, see you later. There's no grievance. There's no discussion. Now they're trying to impugn the way the Giants do business. Guess what? They do business the same way the other 29 teams do business. Exactly the same. J.D. Davis is a free agent, Coca, if you want him. Nothing personal pick of the day. Who did it yesterday? Who did it? Mavs, 4.5 over the Bulls. We won. The Mavs won by 35. Remember I said that, hey, if you have a few shekels, I said I can't find the line right now. But if you have a few shekels, go with the triple-double. Luka got the triple-double. We are 32-33. Luka's averaging 36-11-10 over his past 10 games. That's just so good. But you know what? I'm sort of a consequentialist. The Mavericks are 5-5. No bueno. I really am happy for Luka. I want him to win a title so I can win and wait to see. But it ain't great to go 5-5 when you've got the second best player in the entire sport. Don't worry, Kyrie to the rescue. All right, we need a pick today. We need a pick so badly. Should we go the over-under of the Knicks-Sixers game? The Knicks-Sixers played an old-school game. We talked about it on Levitard the other day. Maybe it was yesterday. The Sixers beat the Knicks 79-73. Such a good game. That's how it used to be. The total tonight for the Knicks-Sixers is back up to 108, so they're assuming that both teams will get into the hundreds. We're going to do a... is 208, excuse me, obviously. It can't be 108. I'll take the over, Coca. Can we tease the total down to 108.5? What do I have to do? Do I have to do the Knicks minus 60 over the Sixers over 108.5? I'm taking the Knicks 6 over the Sixers. And I'm doing a half unit parlay. The half unit parlay, Coca, is Knicks on the money line over 208.5. So would you help me and figure out what that will be? That's plus 171. That we're doing half a unit on Knicks money line and over 208.5, which is ironic because they just played and they didn't get over 153. That said, this is the NBA. This will get us back to 500. All right. Still can't get over the whole free agency thing in football. I just remember when this day would happen. I don't know if we have another minute or so, Coca, but I just remember all the player movement and all the excitement. We're trying to sell opening day. Spring training is you're deep into spring training. People are beginning to smell opening day. You're beginning to take over the news cycle. You're not yet at the NFL draft. You have a month to go before that. And the NFL just shoves in this day where you get crushed. Both the day before in anticipation, the day of, and then the day after when everybody's talking about what happened the day before. So it's a three-day cycle in the middle of your prime time. The only thing worse would be if they did it in October. But this is your prime time. Kirk Cousins, I salute you. It's just business. Good luck in Atlanta. This is nothing personal.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.